Well, Sunday afternoons, we've been taking a look at this subject, how not to cultivate rebellion in our children. And, you know, these messages are good for all of us because we're all, we were saved, we're the children of God. And most of us have some kind of influence over children, whether it's a parent with a young family or older children, maybe grandparents that have influence over children. And all of us, as members here and attendees of Olmsted Baptist Church, we all need to realize that children are watching us. Children, the young people are watching us. What a great blessing that the family and the home is, ordained by God, as we mentioned this morning, ordained by God before sin in the garden. The family's good. And a husband and a wife and children that come from that. It's the Lord's design to fill the world. And so it's a good and blessed thing. It's a blessed thing to have children. We're blessed. One of the brethren that came and was with us over our conference, as we talked after he got home and he was checking in to let us know that he got made it home safe and sure appreciated the opportunity to be with us and to preach. He commented about the blessing that the Lord had given us in our church of having so many children, because he gets around and sees other churches that just don't have any children, don't have a cross-section of ages in the church. And so the Lord has been very good to us. But as we've taken a look and considered, with that blessing comes a great and awesome responsibility. And understand this, you and I need to go ahead and just resign ourselves and understand this. We cannot meet this awesome responsibility by ourselves. We can't do it. You and I, we don't have the wherewithal to do so. And so our Lord, knowing that, he's given us good instruction in his word on how to do so. And by our Lord's help and by his word and by his power, we can do well. Where we failed, which we all have, may we repent of that and face up to the Lord with it. And then from there, pick up and move on, because we all have failed. And these messages, again, these messages are not targeted at anybody at all. They've been a burden upon my heart and just a whole range of subjects and topics to cover, because we all need them. And again, we are saved. We're the children of our Lord. And so in that, they do apply to us, even our own way and our own attitude. We've taken a look about how the Lord gave Israel a way to put away evil from the nation of the rebellious. We've taken a look about this of desiring to have the hearts of our children. We're not talking about manipulation. We're not looking to be manipulators, but ones that are tuned in with the word of the Lord, that we might pass that on to our children. We've seen how foolishness, the Lord declares this, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And that's the Lord's answer to it. He's the one that invented this way and came up with that. Not me and not any other man, but the Lord. It said, we've got to correct our children. They won't die if we spank them. They won't die. We need to do that well. But in doing so, the Lord says in Proverbs 23 that we'll deliver their soul from hell. Because in that time that we have them, we're teaching them the authority that they ultimately are going to be, that they ultimately have before them, they giving account to God for their own lives and their own souls. As I mentioned to you some time ago, we as parents stand in the shadow of the Lord, ultimately. While the children are small and young, we stand there as that authority figure, and we should be pointing them to the Lord the whole time. So the rod of reproof in Proverbs 23 will give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother, and I think we can say his father, to shame. And so our children are not to be allowed to just run wild, but we are to be instructors of them. Scripture says if we hate our children, if we spare the rod. But a one that loves chastens in betimes. And so understand that, parents, grandparents, that this is a calling of repetition. Now, what happens with you and me, what happens with me, let me not include you in it, but like one times, two times, three, I think that's enough. And so I'm going to escalate the whole thing by, say, screaming or whatever, the outward expression of choice that you could plug in there. But we need to remember how our Lord is with us as His children. He keeps on, keeps on, keeps on, steady, steady, keep on, keep on. We need to chasten them betimes, to guide them in that right way, to drive that foolishness away from their hearts. We need to chasten them while there's hope and not let our souls spare for the crying or other things that they may do. We've taken a look about rebellion and stubbornness and what the Lord says about that. And, you know, children are different. Some children are very compliant. Some children are compliant and deceptive. Children are always subject to work both ends against the middle. I mean, they're artists in that. You know how we know that? Because you and I were children, and we know what we did, how we did. Some children are very, very, very strong-willed. Children need to be dealt with differently in regards to those things. And as parents, we need to, seems like what happens with a new parent, I just speak this from experience, about the time you get and have an understanding of things and maybe have a few things figured out, they're grown. And then there you are. But rebellion and stubbornness, we need to deal with that well and know what the Lord says about it. Our children are subject to do worse than us. They're watching us, and so we need to be aware of that. We took a look at David and Solomon in that regard. The honoring of parents, which is what we spoke about the last time, and the confederacy that there needs to be with father and mother. Father and mother is mentioned over and over in the Scriptures just that way, because they're one flesh. They need to have one way. You know, this is one of the things that manifests itself in when you have an unequal yoke in marriage. If there's an unequal yoke, a believer and an unbeliever, or maybe even two believers, but different pursuits of worship and faith. You would have someone that would be saved and one that would be a Baptist and one not. It's an unequal yoke, and what happens? A couple can endure and work out and get past a lot of things. But I tell you what, it's the children that bring it out. The children bring it out. Which way are you going to raise the child? You going to raise a child this way? You going to raise a child this way? We find it hard to believe that a Baptist could ever marry a Catholic, but it's happened. And man, what a strait, huh? What a strait that. What are you going to do with the children? They can work things, and I'm not condoning that kind of relationship and that kind of bond and marriage. They should not be married, but they can work things. But you know what? When it comes to the children, something's going to happen. And so we need to always have that confederacy, and there needs to be honoring of parents, indeed, by the children. And they're taught that. Children are taught that. I invite you to turn your Bible this afternoon to Proverbs 22, Proverbs chapter 22. And from this passage, we want to take a look at two different things. And we're just going to delve into one of them here this afternoon. And then, Lord willing, next time we'll pick up on the second. Train up a child. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6, the Scripture says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Is that true? It is. It is true. It is true. But yet, you and I both have heard, and we've witnessed even, it didn't work. It didn't work. And that leaves a great quandary in our hearts and minds. Why didn't it work? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But it doesn't work sometimes. Why? Well, as I mentioned earlier, and we'll review here in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13-15. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, he shall deliver his soul from and shall deliver his soul from hell. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and daughter too, and let not thy soul spare for its crying. And I'll make a mention about that. There's a thought, maybe, that there's a difference between girls and boys. There's no difference between girls and boys. They're different in that their gender is different, but both need the same kind of correction. What you come down to is the personality and the way of the child. That's what you're dealing with. You can have a stubborn, stubborn, stubborn daughter. You can have a stubborn, stubborn, stubborn son. They're little sinners, and they need to be taught. And there's no difference between them. Boys will be boys. Well, you know, they've got their nature that's going to come out of them, but girls are girls too, and the nature's just as rotten. I'm not running down girls, nor am I rotten running down boys. But they're sinners, because they came from us, and we're sinners. And they all have to be dealt with and corrected and rebuked and chastened to the extent that they need. And there needs to be perception about that on the part of a parent. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and the promise of the Lord, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Why does that not work sometimes? Well, we want to consider two things. First, we've mentioned it, made mention of it, train up with voice control. Our Lord's expectation of us, his design, is that we be controlled by his voice. Do you, brethren, refute that? Not to put you on the spot, but isn't that the design of the Lord? He speaks, we listen and do. I mean, isn't that plain? It's that way plain from the beginning. Now, we don't want to do that. But we have to be taught. And has the Lord not provided a forthright word of God, especially to us in our day, that's what he wants? I mean, he took 40 men in 1,600 years to put his word together in written form so we would know what the truth is. Is the Lord's design, does he have any expectation that we will disobey him in this? I'm talking about he directing and what mankind should do. There's no expectation we would disobey at all. Now, the Lord knows our nature, but that's not an excuse, is it? We do disobey. But it's not an excuse for disobeying, because the Lord has spoken. And so that's the Lord's attitude. We see that with Saul. Lord didn't tell Saul in that review about stubbornness and rebellion. The Lord didn't come to Saul 5, 6, 7, 18 times and tell him, go destroy the Amalekites. He told him once. And he didn't. And then the Lord said that stubbornness and rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft and like idolatry. That's pretty strong. But that's what the Lord's expectation is. And I think we can see that. So training up. We need to train up with voice control. The Lord's expectation of us, his design is that we be controlled by his voice. And so should it be with our children. As one brother said it, listen closely, we need to stop lying to our children. I thought that interesting. Years ago, way, way back, a brother said that. We need to stop lying to our children. When we tell our child to do something or not to do something, we need to be training them in a way and teaching them in a way that's just what they do. But what happens is, as we get into a thing of speaking, and we tell them not to do a thing, or then we even threaten them with punishment, and we don't follow through. We don't follow through. And so then we tell them again, but then we forget about it. And then we tell them again, and we don't hold them to it. We let it pass. You hear what I'm saying? See the pattern that is set up? And it's easy. We've all done it. It's easy for us to do. We speak of what's to be done or what's not to be done, and then that's the end of the issue. And so that's what we're dealing with, and that's what the brother said. We need to stop lying to our children. What he's getting at is we tell them something, but that's all we've done is we've told them something. Now let's go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about it. Talk alone is cheap. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10, a few pages over from where you're at. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 19. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. And so here, the more you and I speak, we see we just make it to where we can get ourselves in trouble more and more. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. The more I speak, the more that we speak and put out words and such, we have greater opportunity to be wrong and to be transgressing. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Speak a little, and whatever you say, make it valuable and make it worthwhile. You remember that years ago when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen, right? Because when E.F. Hutton spoke about investing, supposedly, it was something good. And so the implication is there is that E.F. Hutton may not speak much, but when he does, pays to listen. Well, that's the way it needs to be with us. As parents, we need to say what we mean and mean what we say. Not many words, but few words. Few words that we've trained our children to know they carry weight. Let's go down and take a stroll down memory lane. Maybe this described our parents. Have you ever seen a mother or a father be able to control their children with the look? The look. Whoa. Mom or daddy looked my way. You know how they were able to do that? They backed up the look. They knew, the children knew, that if they didn't obey, the look meant there was trouble lying close ahead. Right? The look. The look. Maybe your parents, our parents did so. What about the amazing how a child trained can pick up on the throat clearing of their father or their mother all the way across the room? Isn't that something? Why is that? If mama or daddy didn't back up the throat clearing, it just blended in with everybody else's throat clearing, didn't it? Right? You see what? We need to stop lying to our children. The snapping of the fingers. I knew my dad snapped. I've used it myself. When Jim Duke snapped his fingers, I knew his snap. What am I doing wrong? Think hard. How is that? Because it was backed up. It was backed up. Or the voice of authority. All the way across the room. Jimmy, that's my name. Said by my mother. Whoa, look out. Danger, danger, danger. Right? See, few words and voice control takes training of our children. As we mentioned in earlier messages, we've got to get their attention first, though. We've got to have their attention. And it's not just by speaking to them with a multitude of words and screaming and yelling and all that. Sometimes there needs to be a raising of the voice, but we need to watch out how we defer to that, because they can become unsensitive to that, too. We've got to speak. And best the slow, steady, make it the still, small voice, and back it up, and back it up. That's what the Lord does. In Ecclesiastes 5:3, for a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. We don't want to sound foolish ourselves to our children, but if we speak a lot and don't back up what we say, children grow up and even come to the point of even laughing at their parents because they know there's no backup to what's going on. Ecclesiastes 5:7 in the same chapter, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities or emptiness, but fear thou God. And then Proverbs 14:23 speaks so much about talk alone is cheap. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Talk is not enough. Now, if we have the heart of our child, which that's our goal, is to have the heart of our child and have their attention, then as Solomon declared, we can give them wisdom and instruction and help and knowledge. But if we don't have them to be a believer in us and what we're saying, we have no audience or little audience with them indeed. Remember, foolishness is bound in their hearts. There is an element that our children and their sinfulness and their deception, they can't help what they do. That's what's natural for them to do. And we as parents, grandparents, otherwise aunts, uncles, we're the ones that are given there to be the correction for what's right. Parents need to back up what they say, just like our Lord does. In Romans 2:13, listen to what the Word of God says. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. See, there's hearing and obeying. That's what God respects. That's what God expects. And we find it there. I know this is relative to justification, and that is the subject at hand. But obedience of the Lord is what's honored by the Lord. And there's a principle that's there that we see that that's just the way it works. Talk, tell, and obey it. That's the way it's to be with us and our children. In James chapter 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Listen, hearers only, deceiving your own self. Yeah, oh, we can love the message, we can love the word of God, but we don't put it to practice, we don't put it in action. It doesn't change us in any way. Our Lord says we are deceived. We're deceived. And we don't want to be deceived, nor do we want to deceive our parents, do we? Or deceive our children. You know, for parents, young parents, there's a lot of distractions. We all most likely have some kind of hobby, our own thing, whatever it may be, not sinful things. And when we get off doing our own thing, we're distracted from our parental responsibilities. Distractions for parents. It happens. It's just, it happens. It happened to me. It happens to me. I understand. We've got to watch out for it, because that's when our little sinner children will take advantage of the situation. They're sinners like us. It's bent. They're in it. It's in them to take and work and push the system. It is that way. And we need to know that. But we can be distracted as parents by getting into our own thing and forget about what's going on with our children. And in those times, we can speak and not back it up. We can speak, tell them what to do, not to do. But then if they don't, we can let it pass, because we're into our own thing, doing what we're doing. As parents, we can think that the other parent has it covered. Right, dads? Right? It happens. It happens. And when the thing is fathers, the responsibility of the home in total falls upon our shoulders, no matter who we delegate it to. But it can happen that the mother thinks the father's got it under control. We can be distracted. And at that time, we can have times where we're distracted ourselves, and we speak and we don't back it up. And our children are gaining ground in a position that the words don't matter, the instruction, the guidance don't matter. You know what happens with young parents? And it's true, it's just this way. Young parents, young mothers dedicated to caring and raising their small children at home, when they have fellowship with other adults, it's like, somebody older than 15 to speak to. Right? Isn't that the truth? It happens. And it's a distraction. And we fellowship with one another, like when we come together for services, and we can forget about what's going on with our children. It can be those times that we're brought to a point that we speak to do or not to do, and they don't, and we forget, and they get off the hook. They know. They know when we're distracted. But parenting is 100% part 100% of the time job. And so whether we're involved in our own thing or we're fellowshipping with one another, we've always got to keep track of what's going on with our children. To teach them that we do know what's going on. Parenting is 100% of the time. It's a full-time job. It's what you and I signed up for when we became parents. You know, when you become a young parent, it's a good thing you don't know everything about being a parent. Because you probably wouldn't have become a parent. So that's okay. The Lord takes care of that too. And He teaches us as we go. But that's... I didn't know about this. And you know what? As we get older, we find out that you don't ever get over being a parent. What you do is you trade things in for other things. And usually what you do, what you're trading in for something bigger. What I mean by that is more out of our control and more subject to unknowns, more reliance on the Lord, and more prayer, because they're not little and they're not under our feet anymore. They've become young adults, adults, having their own families. They're flying. We've shot them. Arrows shot. And we're out of the picture like we were from the standpoint of guiding them and directing them day to day to day. Distractions for parents. As we read earlier in this verse, chapter 14 of Proverbs, verse 23, in all labor there is profit. It is a labor to have a family and to have children. Have you ever seen a child that the voice of their parent or anyone in authority cannot break through the fog of distraction in their hearts and lives? Ever seen a child like that? A child that the voice of their parent or anyone in authority cannot break through the fog of distraction that's in the child's mind and heart. Say their name over and over repeatedly. It troubles me to hear a parent have to do that. Say their name over and over again and cannot crack through the fog that's going on in that child's mind. Need to get their attention. There may be a day that you need them to respond on the first call of their name. And the thing is, too, is when we utter and utter and utter and utter and utter and utter, and I'm not talking about a child with a hearing disability. I'm not talking about where there's physical problems there, but because of just the culture that has been at hand and the way that the parent has gone, they've not taught them to respond immediately to their voice. And Solomon says to his children, listen to my voice. The Lord says, listen to my voice. A child that cannot break through, or anyone in authority cannot break through the fog of distraction in the child's mind and heart. Not with many words or not even with loudness. Even the level of the speech and the sound goes up and up and up, and it takes a great call and so many, many words to get a hold of them, get a hold of the inside. Where then they finally respond. Beware, parents. Beware. It's not a good recipe. It's not a good recipe at all. That parent does not have voice control. That parent does not have the child's attention. Talk alone is cheap, but the voice of the parent can control a child if it is followed up by action. Son, daughter, when I speak, you listen. You think of me as E.F. Hutton. And all other voices of authority, your pastor or family members that are older, when they speak, need to listen to them too. Now, the parents have the ultimate responsibility, but there needs to be an honoring of elders and an honoring of even older family members And our children don't come by that naturally. They've got to be taught it. They've got to be taught respect. And there is an element indeed that respect is earned. But children need to be taught to respect the honor that is due their elders. We need to hold our children to what we say and when we say it. At all times. And even in times of distraction. If we do not, what are we doing? We're cultivating rebellion in their hearts, aren't we? I mean, it's just the bottom line. And so may the Lord help us with this, training them up. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. The thing is if we've been training them to ignore rather than to hearken, what have we trained them for? We've trained them that no wonder when they would get older, they wouldn't hear the voice of a parent and what they would instruct or what advice they would give or what they should say. Our children are to go on and be adults themselves. And parents, be looking for that. You've heard me say it often. We need to be preparing them now in the age that they are for what's next. Because the thing is we're not always going to be around. And they in time are going to come of age. And, you know, none of us know about the time of life and that. Have we all prepared our children for the things that they need next or the things that they need in our absence? What if tomorrow, and I know very young children, it's one thing, but what if tomorrow the Lord takes us out of here from the standpoint of death? The Lord, have I prepared my children to continue on? Have I made my children reliant and dependent on me? Or reliant and dependent on me and what's appropriate for their age, but then teaching them and advancing them for what's next in their lives to where they could pick it up and go to that next level? Understand, very young children, they need parents for that time of their life, but where are we there? Where are we there? Train them up. Next time, Lord willing, we're going to take a look at this. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We've taken a look at voice control. Next, we're going to take a look at training them up without hypocrisy. Again, we're asking the question, the Lord's made a promise here. Why doesn't it work sometimes? Well, we're going to take a look about this of hypocrisy in our own lives and see and consider in the Word of God what impact that could have.